For many people, this is their favorite time of the year. Christmas is their favorite holiday. And we can understand why, with all of the decorations and with the special gatherings that happen, you know, company parties and other special Christmas parties. Then there is that just spirit of giving and generosity that seems to prevail this time of the year. It is no secret among conference administrators that December is always the best month of the year for giving. They expect the offerings to be the highest of any month of the year. And all of the charitable and nonprofit organizations also recognize that people are more generous during Christmas, so I'm sure you have received something in the mail inviting you to give a special donation during this season. But for a lot of other people, this is the time of year that they dread. Because of all of the same reasons people enjoy Christmas, other people do not look forward to it. The stores and malls are more crowded, traffic is worse, and there is that pressure to be giving stuff that maybe you can't afford, or just feeling obligated to be a part of different gatherings when your calendar is already booked and full. And it's just so busy that you wish it were over. I've heard people tell me that, especially those who have lost a spouse, that first Christmas is always the worst. And this is the time of year that people become depressed more than any other time. And part of it just has to do with the season, with the days being shorter and the nights being longer. But it's also just something about this time of year and the Christmas holiday season that causes people to feel depressed. And there's just something about Christmas that people do not want to be alone. And people will travel long distances and spend extra amounts of money just so that they're not alone, that they can be with other family. And you know, you never hear that about any other holiday of the year. You don't hear people complaining about having to spend Easter alone or the 4th of July alone. What is it about Christmas that people do not want to be alone? Well, this morning I would suggest to you that there is something that God has built into our Christmas celebration that motivates this feeling of not wanting to be alone. And I direct you back to our scripture passage in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1. Matthew, chapter 1. And Donna read for us, starting with verse 18. But I'd like to direct your attention to Matthew's commentary on what the angel told Joseph, starting at verse 22. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. And then he quotes a passage from the prophet Isaiah. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. What Christmas is all about is the birth of our Savior. The name that Isaiah says is given to this child is Emmanuel. God with us. What we are supposed to receive from Christmas is the realization that in Jesus Christ, God came to be with us. Now, wasn't God here before Jesus was born? So what's so special about Jesus being born? God was already here. God was already with us. So why the big deal about Jesus coming for us? Well, we human beings have a difficult time worshiping someone, something that we cannot see. So Jesus came to give us a visible presence of God so that here's a God that we can actually see and worship. At my previous church that I pastored in Hawaii many years ago, there's a neighbor right next door to the church, an older couple that had no children and no close living relatives. And at one point, the husband came over and talked to the pastor just before me and told the pastor, because the members had been so nice to them, that when he and his wife died, they would give the property to the church. And if you know anything about Hawaii, land is extremely valuable. And so that was an incredible gift that they were giving to the church. A number of years later, the husband died, and while I was there, the wife died. And so the property became ours. They had been living in an old, old cottage that really wasn't worth keeping. So we formed a building committee and began to make plans. And the plan was to demolish the cottage that was there, and we would build a new building that would have Sabbath school rooms for the children's division and a special chapel for the Japanese-speaking division of our church that was much needed. And as we were working on the plans, we encouraged the church members to begin setting money aside for this building project. And even with all of the encouragement we did, yes, there were a few people that began giving to the building fund, but I was told people really will not start giving until we actually break ground. And when we did break ground, that's exactly what happened. All of a sudden, all this money started coming in. And I realized that people were waiting until they actually see that we were going to build something before they would actually give. We have a hard time dealing with things that we cannot see. And when God said, "Worship me, but don't make any images of me," the people had a really hard time with that. And all throughout the Old Testament, the prophets would tell the people, "God is with you, God will take care of you, God will bless you." But the people had a hard time with that. And so they would build idols and bow down to those idols and worship those idols. And finally, God said, "Well, okay, I will let you see me." And so Jesus Christ came, God with us. They could see Jesus in human form. But he didn't just come to show us what God is like. Certainly he came to be our Savior, to live a perfect life, to die on the cross, to pay the penalty for our sins. But Jesus did something even more remarkable than that. If you'll turn to John's Gospel, chapter 1. John chapter 1, and this is a passage that is well known to many of you. John 1, the very first verse. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And if you drop down to verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Full of grace and truth, we have beheld his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father." Who's this Word? Jesus Christ. And this Word, Jesus Christ, became flesh. He became a human being. Jesus didn't just come to show us what God looks like. He actually became one of us, became a human being. And this is the mystery that theologians have referred to as the incarnation, how Jesus Christ could be fully God and yet fully human at the same time in one person. God and human together in one person. That's how God came to be with us in Jesus Christ. He didn't just come as God, he became a human being, so that he could be one of us, so that we could understand better who this God is, and so that through Jesus we could recognize and understand that this God really does love us, really does care for us, so much so that he became one of us and came to be with us. Not just for that period of time, centuries ago, but forever. He is human forever. He is one with us always, throughout eternity. And you might think, well, that's good for the people back then. The people back in the first century could see Jesus. But that doesn't do us much good today, does it? We can't see Jesus the way Peter and John and Matthew were able to see Jesus. So how does that help us now? Can we see Jesus today? Well, maybe not in his physical human form, like those first disciples did. But staying here in John's gospel, come over to chapter 16. Chapter 16, this is the night before Jesus was crucified. Look at verse 7. John 16, verse 7. Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away." And I imagine this must have sounded very, very strange to the disciples to hear Jesus said, "It's actually to your advantage. It's better for you that I go away." Then he explained why. "For if I do not go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Who's the counselor? The Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "When I leave, I will send the Holy Spirit in my place." Through the Holy Spirit, Jesus is able to be with every one of us all the time. If Jesus had remained here, physically here on earth, because of his humanity, like you and I, he could be in only one place at one time. But by returning to heaven and sending the Holy Spirit in his place, because the Holy Spirit can be present everywhere, all the time, and because the Holy Spirit and Jesus are one, through the Holy Spirit, Jesus can be with every one of us all the time. Amen. Always. Isn't that a blessing? So Jesus really is with us now through his Holy Spirit. When you invite the Holy Spirit into your heart, Jesus is there. Jesus is with you. He is with us all of the time. It still would be nice, though, wouldn't it, if we could see him? But I would suggest to you that we can still see Jesus. Somebody can see Jesus in you. If you are sincere in living the life of a Christian, when you invite the Holy Spirit to take complete control of your life, when you are serious about taking time every day to be in the Word, to read the Bible, and to let God's truth fill your life, then you will be a reflection of Jesus. Ideally, when people see you, they should actually be seeing Jesus. You can be Jesus to somebody else. We can be Jesus to each other. It just depends on whether or not we choose to have that connection with him, whether we will spend time daily in his word. When we do that, when the Spirit fills us, Jesus fills us, and you become Jesus to someone else. Has anyone here been to the island of Molokai? I see a few hands. Not many tourists go to Molokai. Usually it's Maui or the Big Island, maybe Oahu if you don't mind the crowds. Molokai is a very special place. The northern shore of Molokai is mostly steep cliffs. There is one particular area that there is a flat piece of land that sticks out into the ocean at the base of one of those cliffs. That area of land is called Kalaupapa. In the 1800s, Kalaupapa was designated as a leper colony. Much like ancient times, if a person was diagnosed as having leprosy, they were shunned and basically quarantined. And for the Kingdom of Hawaii at that time, the lepers would be taken by boat because that was the only way you could reach Kalaupapa at that time, and they would be dropped off on the beach and left there to fend for themselves until they died. In 1873, there was a Roman Catholic priest by the name of Joseph de Wooster, who was from Belgium, who had taken the name of Damien, who went to Kalaupapa to minister to the lepers there. There were about 600 lepers at that time. And they were literally living in grass shacks. And when Father Damien saw that, he took it upon himself to improve their situation by building them homes. And so almost by himself, he would build them homes out of wood, and he built a little church in which they could worship. And he cared for and ministered to those lepers as best he could for many, many years. And after he had been there for about 9 years, 8, 9 years, one evening he was boiling some water to prepare a bath for himself, and accidentally he stepped into that pot of boiling water. And he realized that he felt no pain. And he understood what had happened, pinched himself, and did not feel any pain. And the story is told that the following Sunday, during the church service, he pulled back his robes and exposed his skin to the worshipers and revealed those splotchy white patches and told his congregation, "I am now one of you." And 4 years later, Father Damien died of leprosy. But when he revealed that he had contracted the disease, the story is told that the people of Kalaupapa looked at Father Damien differently, because he had truly become one of them. If you go to the U.S. Capitol in Washington, D.C., there is Statuary Hall, where each state is allowed to place a statue, and each state is allowed one statue, except for the state of Hawaii. Hawaii is the only state that has two statues. One statue is of King Kamehameha, the monarch who united all of the islands under one kingdom, and the other statue is a statue of Father Damien, in honor of the work that he did in ministering to the lepers and giving his life in ministering to them. Jesus Christ became one of us. He literally took our sin upon himself. He identified himself completely with us so that through his death we could be saved. Father Damien died because of leprosy. His death really didn't accomplish anything for them. But the death of Jesus Christ accomplished our salvation for us. Not just healing for our sin, but giving us eternal life. This Christmas season, I hope you will celebrate the reality that God truly is with us, that he really is one with us, to give us salvation, and hopefully to enable us to be God and Jesus to each other, to reveal Jesus to one another by living the life of faith and trust in him. May this be a special Christmas season that draws all of us closer to our Savior.